I'd like to invite you to stand as I read the gospel. You may follow along in your pew Bible on page 751 or 752, or you can pull out your phone and use an app if you'd like to read along that way. The gospel according to John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one else can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said this to you. You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Dear siblings in Christ, grace and peace to you from the one who is, the one who was, the one still to come. Amen. I love church music. Hymns are full of tradition and memory. There are hymns for baptism and hymns for death, hymns for the ordinary and hymns for the extraordinary. I also love that church music can speak to people of all ages, especially the littlest ones in our pew. It's a shame that they're not here with us this morning. A couple of weeks ago, I attended a conference in Santa Monica put on by the ELCA about engaging worship and culture. And one of the speakers used music as a way to transition through her talk. She picked well-known hymns and particularly well-known verses of those hymns and wove them into portions of her presentation. At one point, she sang, "Come, come." And before she could finish the line, the tiny 4-year-old voice of the youngest participant at the conference sang loudly from the choir loft, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." It was amazing. Music transcends age and speaks in ways that sermons never can. Music builds community. Think of all the times at church camp, sitting around a fire, singing glory to God and all of God's wonderfully made creation. Music does all of that. And more. Hymns have been used as a device to express the wide variety of understandings of God and the shared, faith-filled life of believers since ancient times. We have some of those ancient songs at our fingertips. Within the 150 psalms, there are songs of praise to God, songs of lament, songs of thanksgiving, songs dedicated to royalty. There is a psalm for everything and every day. I love that about the psalms. Are you having a bad day at work? There's a psalm for that. Are you wanting to praise God? There's a psalm for that too. They help guide us through our journey here on earth and through what can feel like everyday drudgery. But music also opens our eyes and ears to grasp some of the harder concepts of a faith-filled life. Think of the expression of God in the Holy Three, the Trinity. It is a complex theological construct, and I'm really doubtful about people who believe they can explain the Trinity in its exhaustive entirety. It is so mind-bending sometimes when you get in these conversations. However, music helps us to unpack some of that complexity and creates new realities of understanding, new tethers to the gospel, new ways of knowing God. Music accompanies us on our baptismal journey through the good and the bad, through faith and doubt. In 1985, yes, I was alive at that time. I had someone ask me after the service. John Ylvisaker, a well-known composer and lyricist, published what would become an incredibly popular hymn. I mean, across the board, this is one of the most recognizable. And forgive me, I will sing the first verse, or part of the first verse with you, as long as you join in with me if you know it, okay? It goes like this. I was there to hear your morning cry. I'll be there when you are rolled. I rejoiced the day you were baptized to see your life unfold. Ah, thank you. One pastor writing about that hymn notes that Morning Cry is one of the most popular songs in recent hymnals. The ballad style of the music lends itself to a feeling of a love song. A love song it is between God and the singer. Many hymns address God from the human perspective, but few address humanity from God's point of view. The spirit of Morning Cry is one of God who loved us from the beginning of time and continues to love us throughout the seasons of our life. I have heard this hymn at baptisms and funerals and at services in ordinary time. It is our baptismal journey in song from the perspective of God, which can be a little theologically tricky, but nevertheless, it is loved. And if it's a beloved hymn of yours, it may even transport you to the baptism of a loved one or to the funeral of a dearly departed. It has left an imprint on so many people. Now, we won't be singing Morning Cry this morning, but we will be singing another John Ylvisaker hymn called We Are Baptized in Christ Jesus, which begins with the following. We are baptized in Christ Jesus. We are baptized in his death. That as Christ is raised victorious, we might live a brand new life. And if we have been united in a dreadful death like his, we will all be reunited, for he lives. Those words from that hymn are such a beautiful way to talk about baptism and our life rooted in Christ. Simple phrases for a complex construct. When we are born of the Spirit and marked with the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we are named and claimed as beloved children of God. In that moment, we become inheritors of the kingdom. And in that water and witness of all the communion of saints, those with us now and those who have already completed their baptismal journeys, we are brought into a community of fellowship in Christ. Those words, proclaimed at the time of baptism, journey with us through life. We gather in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit every time this community meets. Anne welcomed us this morning in those words. And while we cannot be born again from the wombs of our mothers, we can be born anew. We believe in one baptism. However, we are given the opportunity to affirm our baptisms every time we gather in those words, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When we confirm a new group of young adults, they're actually affirming their baptisms, something that can be done time and time again. No special ceremony is needed, for we have already been born anew in the Spirit. That hymn that I just mentioned, it continues with the following. In the water and the witness, in the breaking of the bread, in the waiting arms of Jesus who is risen from the dead, God has made a new beginning from the ashes of our past. In the losing and the winning, we hold fast. Listen to this reflection on baptism from the Reverend Donald Johnson. He is the former campus pastor at the University of British Columbia. He also happens to be the father of the presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada. He's Susan Johnson's dad. He says, "Perhaps you have read the story of the raising of Lazarus in John 11. Many have used this story as a symbol of baptism. Lazarus dies and is placed in the tomb. Jesus gets to the tomb 3 days later and shouts, 'Lazarus, come out!' Lazarus does come forth, enveloped by grave clothes. Jesus says, 'Unbind him and let him go.' This is your baptismal story. For this is what happened to you in baptism. New life springs forth. Old ways of bondage are torn away so that we might live in freedom, the new life of God. Being born of the Spirit is being born anew, not as a consequence of faith, but as a gift from God, a gift of freedom in Christ and life eternal through the work of the blessed Spirit." You might be wondering why I keep mentioning John Jilvesacker and his hymns. Today we celebrate his work and his music and his wonderful contributions to the church. For a couple of days ago, John completed his baptismal journey and is now at rest as a beloved saint in light. And as we sing the hymn he wrote, I invite you to think about your own faith life right here and now. Which songs are telling your story? Are they songs of praise? Songs of lament, songs of anger, how do they speak to your baptismal journey? I'll leave you with the final verse of that hymn that we will sing. Glory be to God the Father. Glory be to Christ the Son. Glory to the Holy Spirit, ever three and ever one. As it was in the beginning, glory now resounds again in a song that has no ending. Amen.